Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How's it going up there? Up there, over there? You're back.
It's going good. Going good. I'm
good.
Back in my air-conditioned studio at home in Chico and no longer
nice.
In the parking lot at Starbucks in Kahului.
But who knows? Yeah. We have all these people walk by when we do that. No, that's really cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good, yep. Good.
So,
I'm glad you're
beautiful
back.
Weather, about 80 degrees, 85 right
good.
Now here in Chico, so summertime is hitting. So, yeah, we're excited. How about you? How are you?
I'm good, and you have fun? Good. I'm moving along here. I'm over in Oahu, and things are moving along. The weather's nice.
But of course,
I'm excited to get into the first half of our show today because it's about making moving fun for children, you know, and I'm excited to go over that for the little guys and just some tidbits.
Yeah, well, that's an important deal, obviously, when, and kind of overlooked. I mean, adults think it's an adult deal, but really the kids are impacted and they should feel like they're part of the process, huh?
Yeah, and let's make it fun instead of that pulling teeth kind of situation. Yeah, absolutely. They should be part of the process. And
cool.
Yeah, and the second half, you've got one. I'll let you say.
Yeah. We've got Dr. Glenn Villanueva. It's a pre-recorded interview I did with him recently, and he's talking about his book, The Me Addiction. And I know you and I talk a lot about kind of this, what's going on in the world today. It seems to weave its way into our conversation almost weekly. And, you know, his deal is with the book, The Me Addiction, is that there is this, essentially, this culture of narcissism that has just really kind of gripped our society and, you know, rears its ugly head in a whole lot of different ways. I know you and I were talking last week about the challenges of, you know, of even doing business and how increasingly it seems like people aren't, you know, it's not as big a deal to have integrity with regard to business. And I know, you know,
it's hard, and we never want that to change. Yeah, it's changed drastically. I know I've seen a lot of changes in the last 29, 30 years. And So his book's on that. That'll be interesting to hear, really interesting to hear. The Me Addiction.
Absolutely. The Me Addiction, he talks about it across the board, you know, that it affects everything we do and really, you know, kind of takes it from a practical, because he's a physician, but also a spiritual event. You know, he's saying, you know, basically as, you know, as God followers, God chasers, if you will, that it should be, our lives really should be more of the question should be not what's in it for me, but what's in it for him? How can we honor
and
serve God?
How can we serve God, which means serving people and love our brothers and sisters as our own? That would be so wonderful if we could all get back to that. And there's so many good people out there doing that too. You know, it's just I've noticed it's definitely, definitely a problem. And I guess now we were talking too about with our social media and everybody connecting so much. It's a lot more stress. I mean, for some people, because there's a lot more fear out there. And, you know, fear is always false evidence appearing real, right? That we are all guilty of, you know, so much is going on and we're hearing things and we're bombarded. And then I think a lot of things are changing to where it's becoming desensitized. You know, they used to talk about TV shows for children, which if our mom and dad's listening and you have young children, you really want to take it to heart what they watch, because it can affect them. It can really affect them in many ways. And they did studies years ago and said, I haven't looked recently, so I don't want to speak out of turn because of statistics, but years ago, I mean, as much as 15, 20 years, they said the average child, by the time they're 17, 18 years old, has already seen over 20,000 murders, you know, on TV, right, because of, and what happens, the more that we see, the more we get used to things, the more desensitized we become. And now it's, I mean, I'm sure that number is astronomical, and with all the different video games and there's just so many things going on. So when you're, you know, luckily when you're a parent, you do absolutely have control over this situation. It's not like your child's 18 and out and they can say, you can't tell me what to do, because you can. And you can control what goes on your TV, what comes in your house, what they're listening to. You know, I'm not saying to get fanatical and not let them ever see anything, but there's a lot of good shows and good activities that they can do that are healthy for them, you know. So it really, parenting, I would say, is probably one of the most important jobs on earth, in my opinion. And you stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads, I give you a lot of credit. You know, I know not everybody's able to do it because of the economy, but that is a very, if there was a price tag put on stay-at-home moms and dads, wouldn't you agree the sky's the limit? You couldn't replace, you know, what that yeah. does. So that ties right into what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And moving, making moving fun. Now we only have our 30 minutes. Now we're down to 20 some minutes. It's like we could always do our shows for like a whole workshop, Randy. Mm-hmm. But this isn't about, like, they have, like, say you're moving and you're traveling and you're driving in the cars or you're flying and doing that and you're having activities for your children. That's not what we're talking about today, because of course you want to do that as well. What we're talking about today is when you're deciding to move, you're putting your house on the market, and you're going to go buy a house. And this can also apply too if you're renting and you know you need to, some of the things we're going to go over can apply to, and you want to find another place to involve your children, okay? Mm. So about different activities, how you can involve them in the decision process, etc. But mostly we're going to be focusing on if you're selling your house and buying another one, because in order to sell your house, you have to make sure you kind of stage it and show it appropriately. And the way that we sell a house and the way that we live in a house are two different things. Even if your house is spotless and everything. No, it really is, you know. And with children, if they're going to pull out the games and the toys and everything, right? Got to be, you know, so the more that you can bear it, grin it, have everything perfect in order, you know, to get it staged, then it'll sell quickly, and then you can go back on to regular, normal living again, right? So in the process, it's really nice. One, children should have decisions. Now, of course, if you have a six-month-old infant, you know, that's not going to apply to what we're talking about today. You know, this is children that can actively get involved. You know, can they make their bed? Can they, you know, they understand? So we're probably looking at, 2 years, 3 years? It depends on your child, you know, the child. On up, including teenagers and other family members that are part of the household. So everybody wants, you want to get everybody involved, but it's possible to get everyone involved and not go, oh my gosh, this is a nightmare. We don't want to do it. We don't want to help. Yeah. We can't wait till this is over. And it's all about attitude, getting them involved and making it fun, making it a lot of fun. You can actually have games. You can do projects. You can really think out of the box and come up with a lot of different activities, things that you're going to do to make this an enjoyable process. So, of course, everything depends on age. But even where you're moving to, what type of house, what their bedroom's going to look like, it would really be nice if they could have some choices in this big decision. Because even though children are small, there was a time years and years ago everyone said children are to be seen, not everyone, but a lot of people, children are to be seen, not heard, and it was always parents' decisions, and then they told the kids, I don't know if you grew up in a family like that, but I did, And but now things are changing, and it's proven that more you get them involved, the more they feel committed, the more they feel like they're not out of control of this decision. They're just waiting for the bomb to drop. They feel it gives a comfort level. So depending on how you guys talk to your children, some people sit around the dinner table and talk. Some just, you know, sit and have conversations. It's really good to just let them in on this way ahead of time. So lots of times people are just thinking about moving. Sometimes there's a job relocation. You don't have a choice in moving, depending on the situation. As soon as you know, it's wise to go ahead and say, hey, come on, we want to get you involved and we want to tell you what we're going to do. Now, it doesn't matter, you know, and get their opinions. See what they like, see what they don't like. And, of course, you're going to have, depending on if you're moving, it's going to go across the board depending if you're moving just next to the next neighborhood and they're going to maintain all the same friends, or if you're moving across the country and they're going to have to get new friends, new school, et cetera. So there's just many different scenarios that this falls under. But getting back to getting your house ready and having everybody involved, that's where the fun part. You can do some fun things and start coming through likes and dislikes.
Yeah. So, you know, and the kids, again, I think get more excited about it. I think they're you know, there's, depending again on the age, there could be maybe a hesitancy or reluctance to move if they've got friends and, you know, those kinds of dynamics. But, you know, when you involve them in the move and get their creative kind of juices flowing, I guess in some ways, it distracts them, you know, from maybe some of the negative feelings they're feeling, and, you know, starts to maybe create a little bit of excitement about the new move. And, you know, it's almost, like a way of getting them more focused on the positive aspects.
Exactly.
Of the move.
And getting into, and, you know, everything really is attitude. Everything is. So you either see the glass half full or half low, you know, half low or half full. Sometimes people are moving because parents are divorcing, too, and they're going to be living in two different households, right? So there's a lot of different issues that come up, but the more they can talk, the more they can get things out, the more they can go, hey, this isn't going to be so bad. This is going to be fun, you know? It really does help, and it's proper because kids are people too, right? Kids have rights. Kids have choices. Now, you know, and of course, when I was saying earlier, you as a parent have control of their TV and their, you know, you can monitor what they're eating, what they're not eating. You know, you're the one buying the food, and it's good to teach your children healthy habits. But they still should have choices and get involved. And who are we to say? Well, I mean, I don't think every detail of every relationship of every aspect should always be told to children, you know, depending on their age, et cetera. But this is different. This is something where you can get them involved, and if they're young children, you know, with making their beds, taking the trash out, doing the dishes. I saw a 2-year-old at church pushing around this little thing, and he was helping his mommy. He was saying, I'm vacuuming, right? They had a little, one of those little teeny ones. And he really, sure, nothing would be getting picked up much, but he's doing it, isn't it? And he was thrilled.
Yeah.
So that doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if it's not going to be a perfect job. Who cares? You know, you want to get him involved.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And that's 2 years old. This little one was doing it. So it's amazing. It doesn't matter if you have to go back and vacuum it that night. That's not the point. You know what I mean? The point, and you don't want them to say that. You want to get them involved so that they're excited and they see, this is positive. I'm helping mommy and daddy. Oh, I get to pick out my room. I'm going to maybe paint a mural on my room. I want to paint pictures, or I want to have this one little area I'm going to be able to draw with crayons. We're going to put an etch sketch, you know, just kind of things, all kinds of things. So what you want to do is say, what do we need help with? Because you're going to, you know, get information on how to stage your house, clean the closets out, get everything in order, everything tidy. Children may be used to playing with their toys in a certain way and leaving everything out, to put everything away. And see what they want. When you talk about the move, what do they like? What do they not like? You know, hey, your room's like this now. If you could have your room any different way, what would you do to it, you know? And I always say, I don't want to say bribe the children, but it's almost bribing them when you say, okay, mm-hmm. we can do X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and D. See, mm-hmm. while this house is on the market, we're going to, each person's going to get $5 a week for doing this, or $2 or $10, whatever it is. You know as your own family what makes sense, right? And or maybe they want to take a trip to a Hershey Park type of thing, you know, a Disney World thing, or just your local amusement park in your community. It doesn't have to be some expensive trip, right? There's something they've been wanting to do, or maybe go hiking, or maybe dad's busy a lot and they would just love to go play a game of basketball. You in your own family know what makes everybody tick, right?
So you put
this list out there and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this fun, and we're going to turn the music on while we're all doing it together, and we're going to change it around. It doesn't matter if you've never done this before. You can, why don't we do this? We'll take an hour every Saturday and do this, or we're going to do this in the morning for 15 minutes. I don't know, depending on the layout, you know, when you're zeroing in on the certain specific home, it's easy to say, do this, do this, do this, do this, everybody jump in. But you get the gist from what I'm saying, make it fun. And I don't consider, when I say the allowance or a bribe, it's not really a bribe. I'm just saying that in jest. You know, they're actually doing something, and in return, they're getting rewarded because they're being a part of the team here. You know, it's like very rewarding. Or maybe there's a gift, but it doesn't hurt to sit down and use jot down a to-do list and say, if you have, you know, one child or three children, okay, we're going to sit around the table right now and let's get this out. Let's hash this out. What would you like? What would you like? What? Give me suggestions. Give me input. What would you like to do? We're going to make this fun. We're going to make up some games. What else could we do? See? Instead of, we're moving, keep your room clean, get your room clean, Johnny, go put that over there, stop putting that out, don't leave that out, and all you're hearing all the time is somebody yelling, and it's frustrating, and oh, I can't wait till this moves over, or maybe there's a divorce, and one's mad at the other one, and all the animosity. It's good to just say, let's, like you said, get their mind off, and let's focus on the task, mm-hmm. right, get their mind off this other stuff, and then focus on the task at hand. Could be a lot of fun.
Well, and I think that, man, that goes to, you know, you've hit on something, you know, obviously, as far as moving goes, I mean, we spent the last few minutes laying out the value in involving the kids in a move. But I think, you know, again, as you're talking about this, I really think we're hitting on a bigger issue or a bigger problem, which is, I think a lot of parents, are increasingly disconnected, you know, from the kids. And I, like you say, it's just easier to, you know, bark out some orders and as opposed to get creative and get, you know, down with them at their level, if you will, and come up with ways to involve them in family life, you know, and
exactly.
You shared some of the things that are possible, and I mean, you're right, the sky's the limit. When you start thinking, and you let kids get involved, they're so creative.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And the sky is the limit. You know, they might say, I've always wanted to go do this, and you're, really? You always, oh yeah, okay, that would be great. You know what, I would like to turn my room into, oh gosh, just depending on the age, you know, they might want to turn it into like a playing area room, planes that kind of, like they might want to pick a certain decor, right? Or, you know, I would think it'd be fun to do this, or just so many different things, and they get involved creativity-wise, art-wise. But we're definitely made to be more community-oriented, people-oriented, and families need it too. So think about, just say for example, you've got a stay-at-home mom, and no, there's no one else to help her run the errands and run the children around, and she's got three children, and she's got to take them to school and soccer practice and tennis or singing lessons, or they don't have, you know, they or go pick them up from after school activities and then run them here, and this one wants to go see this friend, and this one wants to go see that friend. And maybe she really should try to work it out where somebody can help her and take turns or carpool with other parents, right? But maybe she has so much on her plate that she can't handle all this, or it could be the dad. And instead of looking at it, working it out another way, all she's is stressed. Come on, kids, let's go. Let's go. 5 minutes. Okay, I got to be. I'm not going to have time to make that. I got to do this and I got to do that, and just complaining the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Because she's not looking at it a certain way, whereas she could say, wow, I get to spend this quality time with my kids in the car, and wow, we could just like talk about this or what about this or brainstorm. I mean, just life, right? Just different things. So it's like, so then the children remember, wow, that time I had with my mom or my dad, even though moms and dads are going to be stressed, life's stressful, right? We all have things going on that we can't control and different things. But we just had fun. We just had fun. We just changed the whole dynamics. So instead of, then it might, instead of like, wow, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for it, and I'm stressing, and the laundry's not done, and this isn't done, and I've got to make dinner, and everybody's complaining, they're able to switch it around and go, wow, okay, well, so what, the laundry's not done, but we're eating a good dinner, who cares? Come on, all three of you pitch in and help me fold these clothes. You see the difference?
Yeah.
And so it can be done, and you always hear in families, say, I've heard years ago, because now things are changing, but where they'd say, we were lucky we had soap to clean the house, we didn't have extras, my family was, that you'll hear people say the family was poor, and but they had lots of love, and lots of camaraderie. And people are still going to argue and all the things. And this doesn't mean, so what if you're on the call and you're listening and it's always been terrible and it's never been good and it's always been, and the anchors are there and it's just set in, it's a bad situation. Change it today. You can change it, and you can change the dynamics. And the move, if you're moving, is a perfect start. And you start, wow, this is fun. We can, and there's some that you can get, depending on the ages of the children, the coloring books, and you can get the paper mache, or you can make this or make that, or say, hey, you know, what would you guys like? Well, we'd like to spend more time with you. Okay, well, everybody get the chores done, and we're going to do this. We're all going to pitch in. You're going to help with ours. We're going to help with yours. And then let's go make a family outing once a week while this house is on the market. You know, there's just a lot you can do. And unfortunately, yeah, when the houses are on the market, you do need to get everybody involved in picking everything up, keeping it as clean as possible, because it makes a difference. So, but there is, there's so much you can do. Because like you said in the beginning, and you know, we come from the older generations, I guess, right? And
yeah,
lots of times people don't even get told, oh, guess what, we're moving now. Or guess
yeah,
what, we're getting a divorce. Guess what? You know, and it's kind of like, okay, so get your stuff together. Okay, let's go. Come on, I've got things to do. Boom.
Yeah.
And so it can go from a very uncomfortable situation to a really fun situation. And any time, even in the happiest of times when people are moving and making changes, you know, there's always going to be some fear or some, you know, concerns or feeling funny because you're changing things, right? And so I call it make moving fun. Make moving fun. And brainstorm. And
like you said, it's a great place, you know, in your life if for whatever reason you're not, you know, happy with maybe your, you know, connection and your family interaction. Yeah, it's a great place to like reset, you know, and reestablish this connection by involving them. And you know, and I, you know, as you were talking about, I thought about another idea where, you know, have the kids, you know, you go to the new house, the new neighborhood, maybe, and you know, you kind of go on this little scouting mission, and you look for the other kids, and you know, and maybe reach out to them in some way. Maybe the kids, I don't know, make something for them, or you know, it's just a way.
Great idea.
A way to make friends, to add value to other people, and it's a great teaching lesson about, you know, in life and in business as they get older, literally, you know, thinking in terms of adding value to people before you, quote unquote, you know, ask them for anything. And you know, and I know, I guess in a kid's context, what the kids would be asking for is friendship once they move there. But what about landing there and just hanging out and figuring out a way to add value to kids? Yeah, it's that whole concept of, you know, Bob Berg, the go-giver, and all that, where you think in terms of, you know, other-orientedness.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better way to start than with kids, teaching that? Because our, you know, as we as we'll talk about in the second half, this culture of narcissism, this, you know, me, you know, culture that we live in is screaming, I think, at kids to jump in line, drink the Kool-Aid, and become essentially, you know, consumed with themselves. So I think you're right. I think it's parents' jobs to get kids, you know, to be thinking about other people.
Exactly, to learn to share, to learn to give, to want to be part of this. And there's something when with moving, of course, you know, they're going to get something in return as well, and have fun. And it's interesting, once they try it, how they'll go, wow, this really was fun. There's so many games you can make up and things you can do, and you can have family. You could play Scrabble or do cards, or there's just so many. You could actually toss up and say, okay, these are some items that, you know, maybe – there's so many things. Maybe there's something that your brother or sister has that you want and vice versa, or the parents, and just so many things when you start brainstorming that come out of the wants and the not wants, and then make it fun. And then stage that house and get it moved. And on the new house, they should be able to decide which room they're going to be in, what they're going to do with the room. And just make the whole process a lot more fun. And like you said, take it off of the negative. And this is where you've heard me say many times, home is where the heart is, right? Home is where the heart is.
Yep.
So
yep.
Even though they're going to move from one to the other, sometimes splitting up and things like that, no, we're still together. We're still a family. We still love each other. We're not breaking our family. You know, this is a team effort. And even if somebody's getting divorced, you know, they can say their mom and dad's always going to still be there, and it's a team effort. And it's not about the four walls you live in. It's about the people that you live with and yourself. And then you want to make it your own special place, and that's where the kids get to turn it, come in and decide. And, you know, I mean, they may want to do all kinds of funky things, right, that you maybe could do that put on the walls or put something behind it so that you can take it off later, if you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
There's just we could go on and on and on and on, but it's just about making this fun. Get your kids involved from now, from the minute the conception of the idea is we want to move, even start talking to them about it then. And and then laugh about it.
Yeah.
Have fun. Just see, you come up with, and when you, and anybody listen to this or listen to the archives, we would love to hear your thoughts, your brainstorming,
absolutely.
Any ideas that you have. We would love that. And you can send that to radio@realityuniversal.com or just go to our site and plug that in. We're going to be putting together something called Make Moving Fun, because we have a lot of different products in the real estate side we're going to do that and then have add-ons, et cetera, on that site as well.
Mm.
But our always
Very
general
cool.
contact is Realty Universal. And, So we are already ready for a break in the second half.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's jump to a break. Yeah, it flew by. Well, when you talk about kids and having fun, I mean, I find myself getting drawn into the possibilities and the energy of just that conversation. And kids always, I mean, we can go on and on, but kids do bring the energy and I think give us, we revisit some of the creativity and energy of our childhood. So this has been awesome. Mm-hmm. I knew it would fly by. And coming up again in the second half, Dr. Glenn Villanueva in a pre-recorded interview regarding his book, The Me Addiction, and kind of our culture of narcissism, you know. And so stay tuned. We're going to take a break and be back on the other side.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere worldwide. Of course, the website, again, realtyuniversal.com. And President and Founder Natalie Mullinex, again, we just had a great half hour talking about involving kids in the moving process, and going to be more information on that on the website as well. So check that out, again, for creative ways and ideas in terms of involving kids in the move. And as we said, it goes way beyond that, and really kind of a nice segue into the second half, because I think one of the challenges kids face is this increasing kind of, we'll call it culture of narcissism, this kind of it's all about me thing that our culture tends to be honest with you, sucking us all into. But Dr. Glenn Villanueva, he's a medical physician from Modesto, California, and he co-authored a book with several other folks called The Me Addiction, and it's, again, talking about really this culture of narcissism in our society and how to kind of combat it. So this is a portion of an interview. It'll got two segments here, and this is the first segment, about 10 minutes, pre-recorded interview with Dr. Glenn Villanueva.
Dr. Glenn Villanueva, or as we like to call him, Dr. V is in the house. What's up, buddy?
Not too much, just the usual, you know, healing the sick and all of that kind of stuff.
Maybe
not. I am a doctor, but I really don't heal people. I just kind of help out the process, I guess.
Wow. Messiah complex much?
Yeah, but okay. Well, side note.
Speaking of me addiction. No, hey,
yes,
and the beautiful thing, folks, we didn't even practice that, but that is an example of how Dr. V and I, over the past few years, really have interacted with this thing. And the whole point of this deal is we're in this together. We human beings are all given to this. And I love what I love about you, Doctor, I'll just call you Glenn. Is that okay? May I call you Glenn?
You may today.
Okay. What I love about you, Glenn, is that you're so honest about, you know, the fact that you suffer from the me addiction, as well as all of us. So that was an example of, you know, just joking around about it. But it's true, isn't it? It's something we all struggle with.
We absolutely struggle with it. Everywhere you turn, people have in front of them me, 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 me. And, you know, the folks that don't, or the ones who have argued with me that they don't, are the ones that have it the biggest and the worst.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that, you know, they just don't understand it. It's like you're speaking Greek to them. And
right.
Anyway, can't see the forest for the trees. So today we're talking technology, and this may go a couple of shows, because technology, goodness, is definitely facilitating the me addiction, is it not?
It absolutely is. You know, every time you turn around, technology is supposed to make our lives better and easier and just, wow, technology helps us so much. But, you know, technology can really separate us from other people, you know. And as we kind of think through this idea of me addiction and technology has really super fueled this me addiction kind of mentality. You know, one of the things, probably, 5-10 years ago, everyone was completely into email, and email everybody, and you responded to email fairly quickly, in a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, and now, Randy, as you know, and listeners know, email is considered too slow. It's too slow. So many people don't even use it. You know, they instant message and they text message and they Twitter. You know, and as you and I kind of think through all of these kinds of issues, you look at it and you boil it all down, and there's a lot of superficial talk, but not much, not much depth. Randy, what do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just ironic that, you know, we're supposedly more and more connected, you know, online, but really, you know, and I knew it was getting out of hand when, you know, I've been in here working for a while because I work in my office at home and studio, and I can sit here for 8 to 10 hours a day just working, just literally getting her done, and my wife will be in the front room, and you know, after a while, I'll get this, you know, I'll get a text message from her. Hi, hey, the voice is on. You want to come watch it with me? Oh, okay. You know, I'm like, you know, but it's just, and that's kind of a practicality thing. But I know, I've seen it. We've all seen it. We've all been at restaurants where the whole family, right? Mom, dad, two teenage kids are all looking at their phones.
No, absolutely. That's happening everywhere you turn. And it's the scary part about it. To me, is that that's becoming normal, Randy. That's not abnormal anymore, certainly not in the restaurants I go to or here in the States. You know, I don't know what it's like in other countries, but my goodness, everywhere you turn here, all the family, and they're starting out really young. You know, they're starting out really young with phones and text messaging and elementary school, you know?
I find myself just, you know, I'm just like... if I haven't checked Facebook or, you know, I've started to get involved in Twitter just because several clients, that's how they communicate. And I've kind of been dragged kicking and screaming into the Twitterverse because I swore that, you know, I wouldn't do that because it is insidious. And that's a whole, obviously, you know, that's a whole probably show in and of itself, the social media addiction.
Yes,
but,
definitely. Yeah. You know, with these smartphones, Randy, you know, as I look at it and I watch people, and as I look at my own family, you know, sometimes we don't even engage with the people we're with. Like you say, you know, two people are on their devices and they're just a couple of feet away from each other. And, you know, an example of this is my sister was complaining to me about her husband in a way that was half joking but half serious because they were on a date and he wanted to check in on his iPhone app to let everybody know way out there in the cloud and out in the ether where he was, that he was on a dinner date with his wife. And Sonia, my sister, says, you know, like, people really cared. She said, my sister, she says, she just got sick of it and just said, you know what? Stop. Are you on a date with me or your iPhone? Man, and I thought about that because as much as I wish I could say that that hasn't happened to me, I have to confess, that's happened to me. Yeah. My wife has said, hey, Are you in a conversation with me, or are you in a conversation with who knows who on your phone? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and boy, you know, honestly, and I've seen, there's this video I saw online, of course, that was making fun of all of the pictures that we put. You know, this is my view, my toes on the beach. This is my wonderful life. You know, and all these, like you say, food at a restaurant. I'm out to eat, and I've got to take a picture. And we all do it. So, folks, we're not by any means, you know, what's the word here? We're in this together. I do all of the above. We're just making it a little more aware. A friend of mine, Jared Easley, does an amazing podcast called StarveTheDoubts.com, talking about entrepreneurs and people who've you know, achieved and kind of fought their self-limiting beliefs and have become successes. And he's interviewed Seth Godin, Guy Kawasaki, all these pretty big dogs, Michael Hyatt, whatnot. He does now seminars on podcasting, social media strategies, all of that stuff. He's kind of a guru. And he's a believer, and I ask him, I go, but isn't this a little sick? I mean, just from a, talk to me from a spiritual perspective. He goes, oh, interesting you've brought that up. He goes, a therapist friend and I have just finished a book on how to overcome your social media addiction. And I just, I said, but wait a minute, you're the pusher. You're selling your services to people, you know, helping them with their strategies on Twitter. How do you, you know? And he's like, dude, I'm just saying, I'm aware. And I'm trying to help other people be aware. And it's kind of what we're trying to do, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bringing an awareness to a level where people understand it. And it's one thing to make light of it, but it's another thing to be able to just honestly confess and admit that, you know what, if I went down this road as fast as I'm being tempted to go down this road, this could definitely separate me from people, you know, and it could happen to me, it can happen to you, it can happen to any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, as you and I have talked about, you know, this idea of verbal communication, the art of conversation is being lost.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the youngsters, the kids coming up through elementary and middle school and high school, to where they can only communicate, it seems, through emoticons or through shorthand or through Twitter, where it's 140 characters or less. You know, I just don't see human interaction in that regard, because we need to be able to express our ideas and our feelings and our thoughts in a way that is understood. And sometimes, you know what, respectfully, 140 characters or less just isn't enough.
No, not at all. And people try and get her done with that, you know, and then it just, it lends itself, I think, to, as you said, because it's not really conversation, it's just kind of shortened messages that you really can't communicate. And I find myself invariably, when I'm in one of those back and forths with somebody on Twitter, saying, hey, can I call you? You know, because we got to talk about this. We can't just do this.
No,
140 character thing.
Absolutely. We need to be able to hear each other's voices, you know, the inflection and the emotion behind the voice, as opposed to just reading about something. And, you know, one of the challenges maybe for the listeners is to, you know what, let's unplug these devices and let's plug into some people. You know, technology sometimes, not always, but certainly sometimes, it undercuts our ability to relate to each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think we're more connected, but really, if I look at it, lots of times we're more disconnected because of the use of technology, you know?
Dr. Glenn Villanueva, Randy Zachary, this is the Me Addiction Show. Got about 90 seconds left. This one flew by. We've been talking about technology. Obviously, we're going to have to continue this next time. But folks can contact you. Where's the best place besides, of course, you know, the doctor's office? Online, where can people connect with you?
I'm online, shoestringministries.org, .org, and you can check out our book at meaddictionstore.com.
Meaddictionstore.com. Is there a video there, I think?
There is. Yeah, there's a video, and you can purchase the book there and check it out, see what you think.
So, indeed, do that, please, and we're going to continue next time talking about the Me Addiction as it relates to technology, both, of course, social media, and then just with all our gadgets and stuff, and how the irony is we're theoretically more connected with each other on many levels, but the interconnectedness among us human beings. I saw a sign in a store, walked in the other day, a restaurant, it said, "No, we don't have Wi-Fi, talk to each other."
Oh, I saw that. I saw you post that or tweet it or something. I thought that was awesome.
You saw my tweet. Very cool.
I did. I saw it.
Sweet.
All right.
Sweet, sweet. All right, man. Thanks, Glenn.
You betcha, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, Dr. Glenn Villanueva and the Me Addiction, the book. And we're gonna resume the conversation with Glenn here in just a moment or two. But, again, Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, on the line with me as well. You know, that whole idea...
That.
Yeah, the whole idea of the me addiction and the disconnectedness, and we alluded to it in the first half of the show today, how I think that the technology these days does add to the disconnectedness, not only of just people like coworkers and friends, but family members and kids. And so, again, I think more so than ever, parents have got to be aware, I think is a good word, just aware that, you know, that they might be, because increasingly we do a lot of our business on the phone, texts, Facebook messages, you know, and...
But, you know, you're right, though. You do see people eating out that are just both looking at their phones and not even talking to each other.
Yeah.
And you're like...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh my goodness! Like right, it's like oh wait a minute, like wait a minute, like this is special time, and I think there really should needs to be times that, that just turn it off, put it down, just don't you know, like
yeah.
Everybody, the restaurants will say no cell phones allowed. Like people would have a fit if everyone, each person's talking on their phones, sitting across from each other, right? So
yeah,
yeah they really, we need to have boundaries.
I love that. I love that. Like I said, that sign that I saw. That we talked about just before the end of the segment where it says, no, we don't have Wi-Fi. Talk to each other.
I love it. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Because it's just, that's our challenge, man. And I find myself, again, and you know, and you can justify it. And I know you're in a business where you're not necessarily on call, but you kind of are. And if somebody calls or emails or contacts you with a question,
you know,
you're always
looking, hard.
You know,
it's hard to not look. And I know with my phone, I can see the emails going through the company, you know, and I can see company and I can see texts and different things. And then it's hard to not check it every so often if you're out and about, you know, it's really hard.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, if you're on a date or you're with your, you know, husband, wife on a date, you're with your family, you know, there should be times where you go, hey, okay, we're going to have a family dinner now. We're going to go out and let's put the phones away, you know?
Yeah.
It's needed.
I did it last
Sunday.
You
know, you did?
I literally, last Sunday, I literally turned my phone off and didn't look at it all day. All day. I felt so good. I'm like, wow, there's freedom from
and
the
and
phone.
I think what you all were saying on the call with the doctor is, I think you, I think that it's a good point that a lot of the conversations are getting diluted. People are just tweeting here real quick or texting here, and you're not having, you know, there's just such a people are being disconnected. On one hand, we're all connected quicker, but on the other hand, it's a rush connect. Okay, text too. And, you know, so many people are texting because it's so much easier than getting on a call because every time you get on a call with somebody, you know you're going
to
be on there 20 minutes, right? And
yeah,
if you just text,
chat.
It's quicker and it's easy. And, and then, right, it's losing some. We're losing a lot of that, but,
yeah,
the social dynamics. So. That is very good. And
let's dive into the second half of this, about another 10-minute segment here.
Perfect.
Of the me addiction.
This kind of culture of narcissism that we find ourselves in these days is, whether we talk, you know, just society or we talk church world, it really doesn't matter. It's kind of across the board, and we covered a lot of territory last time, and we're going to, again, in the next, 13 minutes or so, cover, again, quite a bit. You can always contact us, and again, at shoestringministries.org. shoestringministries.org. All you got to do is like Google me addiction, Dr. Glenn, and he's all over the place. So
we're there.
He's a big dog on online. So let's get into it, man. Let's talk about earphones. I mean, that's pretty interesting stuff. I know I see everybody walking around. It's almost like you can't say good morning to anybody because they'll have their earphones in.
They do. You know, one of the things that's interesting about headphones, earphones, especially the tiny ones, is sometimes you just don't know they're on them. And just recently, last week, I went into an exam room, and I started talking to a patient. And the person was looking down, the patient was looking down at her phone, and she nodded, and I thought she heard me. And so I talked to her for about another 30 seconds until I realized that she had these little earphones in, and she didn't hear a word I said for the previous minute, and she didn't even know I was in the room until I tapped on her leg, which was really just a wild thing to consider because these tiny little headphones completely block out the world, don't they?
Yeah, oh my goodness. And you know what? I think, you know, I don't know, folks that maybe take public transportation for quite a while where they're sitting on a bus, you know.
Sure.
I mean, there's some real practical, you know, going on a trip, all that stuff where you don't want to bother somebody else. I get all that. But again, I think, again, like all of this, we start with a technology that is very, it's a convenience thing. It's a very good thing. And
right.
then we abuse it, I guess. And then we shut out the world by just, okay, I'm just listening to my music. Right?
Yeah. It's a great way to put up a wall against conversation.
Yeah.
It's a great way to put up a wall against interacting with people. You know, with your earphones in, you're basically telling people around you that, hey, quote, not now, and hey, I'm checked out. Don't bother me. Don't mess with me. I don't want to talk to you. And then you realize that it's yet another barrier to communication. And I think through so many teens will use this device, really, to block out their parents, to block out adults, to block out maybe their youth pastor. You know, you see these... You see these kids, these youngsters in youth service, and half of them have got their earplugs in, you know, or their headphones in. And it's a startling thing to me because they are choosing all of the different ways in which media conversations could get into their head as opposed to relating to other people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm going to confess something. You know,
sure.
when you talk about shutting out people and parents or whatnot, I've done this, and I did it recently, and that's what the show's all about, is trying to be authentic here. We're in this together. There was a neighbor I really didn't want to encounter. And so my go-to ploy for that, of course, is what? Pull out my phone like I'm talking to somebody. I'm confessing I did it the other day because I just was in a hurry and I knew that a conversation was going to be 20 minutes and I just, hey, so how you doing? Yeah, yeah, call me. Okay, all right, yeah. I felt so guilty, man, but I'm like, oh, man. But yeah.
It's a convenience. And like you said, at one point and even now, headphones are great. You get to listen to your music. You get to just kind of relax, kind of get lost in your own thoughts. But at the point where that's the only thing you do, and you talk to these primarily, I would guess, 30 and unders that have their these headphones in all the time, these earphones in all the time, they're always having to pull out one of the earplugs or earphones, if you will, and saying, "I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what? Were you talking to me? Were you talking to me? Were you talking to me?" I just wish sometimes that maybe we wouldn't be so into our own thing, that we would be more aware of what's happening around us.
That's where I want to bust out some of the marriage, you know, stuff we use in workshops where I feel like saying, yes, I feel undervalued when you put those earphones in. I feel like I'm not important to you. And obviously, if it's somebody that you don't know, that's one thing. But, I mean, when it's people that you love and care for. Dr. Glenn Villanueva with us, of course, the Me Addiction Show. And, again, we're just talking about the Me Addiction today as it relates to technology. So let's talk about the whole we're friends on Facebook eFriends.
Oh, yes. That's a big deal, isn't it? eFriends. How many friends do you have on Facebook, Randy?
Yeah.
I saw that you had 1,100. I have 1,400.
We have 2,000, actually. But go ahead.
2,000. Yeah. Okay, yeah, but who's counting, right?
Yeah. No, not me. Not me at all.
Oh, no. You know, it's a growing trend where people are speaking or communicating, I say speaking kind of loosely, to each other through the internet, through Facebook, through these electronic means.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a friend who is concerned about his spouse. His wife is retired, and he says that her only human interaction, it seems, while he goes to work, is on Facebook.
Whoa.
And that she's on that for anywhere from 6 to 8, maybe 9 hours a day, and she just has to look at what everyone is doing and put out what she's doing and all those kinds of things. And at some point, you know, when does it become unhealthy? You know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah, exactly, at some point. Where does it? And it's, I don't know, don't get me started. We could do several shows and probably will on Facebook because it has its advantages. It's kind of a cool thing, but it's such a fantasy land. It's such a self image management mechanism where people, first of all, you know, life is great. This is my view. Oh, I love my life. I love my job. I love
I love the food I'm about to eat.
Look at this food I'm about to eat. I'm gonna take a picture of it. And you know, it just gets bizarre. And then the other flip side of it. So that's the self management. My life is great. I'm lying through my teeth thing. And then there's the folks who like me, and I'm guilty of it because my love language, you know, Gary Chapman's 5 love languages, and one of them, you know, I don't remember all of them right now, but acts of service, now I have to think of them, but acts of service, gifts, Mm-hmm. And it's basically the premise is how you perceive that you are being loved based on pretty much your upbringing. So, you know, it could be acts of service, could be gifts, could be time spent, could be physical touch. Mine's words of affirmation. Mine is because my dad was so, you know, emotionally, physically, verbally abusive. Anybody who gives me an attaboy, I just soak it up. So I find myself on Facebook and Twitter, man, you know, posting and tweeting, and then checking back just to see what people are saying and how many like it. It's just, I'm going to say it. It's not healthy.
It right. Really isn't. You know, that confession, if you will, Randy, it resonates with so many of our listeners because, you know, I do that too. As much as I don't want to, I'm like, wow, I wonder how many people liked that photo I just posted. I hope they really think that my daughters are awesome like I think they are. And, you know, all of those kinds of, like you said, affirmations. And when really, you know, so many of the folks that are out on Facebook with us, I really wouldn't consider to be friends, if I'm being honest. They're acquaintances to maybe not even that. And so, you know, they're just people that might know my name, and I might know their name, and I might know a little something about them. But, you know, in these electronic kinds of friendships, you know, we have to start kind of thinking through, just because we interact two or three times a week on a Facebook comment or a like, do we really know them? Do they really know who I am? You know, they're just these little snapshots of who we are as people. And I just have to believe that true relationships, deep relationships, are really challenged to grow and develop online. And some would argue that point, but I think the real world relationships are the authentic ones, not the virtual relationships, you know?
Yeah, well, I just had this conversation with a friend who is very, and we're very much alike, so I was kind of calling him out on some stuff along those lines.
Right.
Just now, probably about an hour ago. And the idea of, I guess maybe I was thinking about the show and stuff, but I was thinking, you know, and I said to him, you know, I know that we pretty much online are super positive and, hey, you know, cool, no worries and all this lingo, but I want to make sure we're okay, you know, about some stuff that's happened recently. And, you know, and you can't do that online or in a tweet, man. You've got to talk to somebody.
Hey, man.
Hear their tone of voice.
Yeah.
You know, better in person, but at least on the phone, say, I want to just know that you're okay with some stuff that I'm hearing you and seeing you say, oh, cool, everything's great, but really? Because I know, and then that person opened up and said, actually, I had a problem with some stuff that was happening. And it was just cool to be able to get to the bottom of a relationship, reconnect, you know, clear stuff up and move on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great example, Randy. Yeah. And that's something that we need to spend more time kind of thinking about, because electronic technology, digital media, social media is supposed to, all of these things are tools, if used well, can enhance our lives, right? I mean, they really can, and they can make them a bit more full, and they can help us connect to people that we haven't seen in a long time and all those kinds of cool things that social media helps us do. But at the same time, it can't be the entirety of how we communicate with people. It can't be the entirety of how we develop relationships, because it really is, on many levels, pretty superficial, Randy.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, dude, we got a minute.
Oh, no.
Yep, this has flown by. And
well, you know, I guess one of the thoughts I would just have as we try and wrap it up, and you and I want to reiterate this, I think, that technology is not the enemy.
No.
Technology is not the evil one, if you will, because it's something that can be used and be used well. Our encouragement, our challenge to the listeners is to just use it in a way that's balanced and use it in a way that doesn't trump personal face-to-face interaction and conversation. Because that's really where the meat of relationships are, face-to-face, deep interactions, not just through a keyboard or a few keystrokes, you know?
Wow, good stuff again, Dr. Glenn Villanueva.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
The book is called The Me Addiction, and all you've got to do is Google that, and you'll see the Me Addiction book, and it's everywhere. And Again, just a great book.
Wow, and I know we're ready to, it's almost end of the show completely, ready to go. And
yeah.
I just want to make the quick comment that, right, there's the pros and the negatives. The plus is, well, being able to do so much, interact, get so much information. People are willing to open up a lot more now than they used to be. And I guess it's just like anything. We almost need to have a social media etiquette, you know?
Yeah.
Social media, like, so that we do, we've done it for years in any other aspect. What's your business attire? What's your work attire? Your play attire?
Mm-hmm.
What's proper here and there?
Yeah.
We just need, that's what we need. We need the etiquette to get out there so that people can start saying, okay, which you do get when you're in a classroom. Someone put your cell phones away, right? When you go on a plane, well, the plane's different. But I think that's kind of what we need, and have boundaries. Isn't it interesting? In every aspect, we just need to have a respect factor. And then, because some people, you know, when people don't communicate to you on the internet, some people take offense. Oh my gosh, I sent you an email 3 weeks ago. I never heard from you, and then all of a sudden they're slighted.
Yep.
And the other person, including me, because I get so many emails, never got their email because I couldn't look at every single one. You know, so it's a lot of miscommunication that goes on as well. And if we could just have a good set of rules, that would be awesome. Great show. And did you want to make a comment? I'm just going to wish everybody well.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I know we need to run.
Okay.
So it's been great.
Awesome. So
great show.
To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.